morning to the book of Philippians found in your New Testament, book of Philippians in the first chapter. Be considering verse number 6 today as we work our way through the book of Philippians on learning how to rejoice in the Lord always. Philippians chapter 1, and we'll be considering together verse number 6. Have you ever been disappointed in yourself as a Christian? Maybe a struggle that you have, a spiritual struggle that's ongoing. I remember one preacher years ago said he began to doubt his own salvation. He looked at his life and struggled for 20 years with this one sin. And he said, it came to him one day, he says, "No, it's actually a testimony to my salvation. If I wasn't a Christian, I wouldn't keep battling it, I'd just give in to it." He said, "The reality was, I am a Christian because I keep trying to get rid of this sin in my life." And so, you know, there are times that something nags us spiritually. Maybe we don't like how we responded in a certain trial, or someone said something to us and we get disappointed. We just aren't growing, aren't doing the things that we ought to be doing. One of the joys in the Christian life is to recognize that God isn't done with us yet. God is still working on us, and the reality of it is, even though we're a child of God, we're not perfect, and the reality of it is that God is continuing to work with us in our Christian lives. So I want to look at this thought this morning, how God is still working on me. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I find hope in this verse. I find things to be thankful for in this verse. Just to know that even though I'm not what I ought to be as a Christian, even though I'm a pastor, that you're not done with me. And there's still opportunities for growth and change in my life. Thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you for not quitting. Thank you for not moving on to someone else. Thank you for continuing to work in my heart and life. And I pray that we will learn to rejoice in the idea of your ongoing work in our lives as Christians. So guide in this service today. May it give us hope. May it give us encouragement. May it give us reasons for change. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. I want to look at three things this morning as we work our way through this idea how God is not done with us. And first of all, I want you to have the basic understanding of what this verse is saying. So my points this morning are really simple. So what is verse number 6 of Philippians chapter 1 saying? Well, first of all, let's begin by reading it. Just listen as I read to you. Being confident of this very thing, here's the thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So the writer here is Paul. Paul was a Jew by birth. He was Jewish. But Paul was now a born-again Christian. He had that Damascus Road experience, but a lot more than just an experience. I'll talk to you about that in just a minute. Well, Paul, he noticed that there are still some things in his life that aren't the way they ought to be. In fact, when God saves us, the thing that he wants to do in our lives is to change us to become like his son. That is what's most pleasing to him. The more I can become like Jesus Christ, the more I will please God. I don't like the over-quaintness sometimes of the what would Jesus do, the WWJD. I think we can make it kind of too quaint, but the reality of it is, what would Jesus do? Sometimes we got to stop and think, what would Jesus say? What would Christ be thinking in this situation? How would Christ respond? So he says, I'm confident. Here's part of his rejoicing. I'm confident of this thing, that he which hath begun a work in you. Let me talk to you about that for a moment. Notice salvation is referred to as a work, not an event. I think we have the idea that, well, if I pray and accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, that's all I need to do. Then I can go back to living the way I was living, doing what I was doing, talking like I was talking, listening to what I was listening to. I've just added Jesus to my life. I want you to know, dear friends, salvation is so much more than that. Salvation isn't just praying a prayer. Salvation isn't just adding a band-aid to your life. Salvation is about believing that Jesus Christ died for you and trusting in Him alone to change your life and even to give you salvation and to give you an opportunity for eternal home in heaven. So salvation is so much more than just a prayer. It's a work. It's a work of God in your life. In fact, what He does is He takes away your unrighteousness and replaces it with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So that He which hath begun a good work in you, here's what He's confident in you about, is He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That word perform means to take to oneself, to take ownership of. Do you realize this? That when I became a Christian, God said in His Word that I can now call Him Father. And according to 1 John chapter 3, He will now refer to me as one of His sons. Or you ladies, He'll refer to you as one of His daughters. What a privilege to be part of the family of God, which God takes you in. God adopts you into His family and claims you to be one of His own. You know, there is something special about adoption. If any of you have been adopted, don't look at that as a negative. Look at that as a positive. Someone has chosen to bring you into their family, and they've chosen to love you, and they've chosen to give to you things, and they've chosen to have you as part of their lives. That's exactly what God did at salvation. But He didn't merely just save us. He's now continuing that work in us and will keep doing it until the day the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to His own, for His own. So that's an encouragement to me. That's something to rejoice about. Even though I may not be really pleased with where I am right now, I've got an opportunity for growth because God isn't done yet. God hasn't given up on me. Turn with me for a moment to Ephesians chapter 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. So it's just a book right before it. Ephesians chapter 2. These are very familiar verses to those who, man, maybe raised in Sunday school, or raised in a church, but maybe not really familiar verses to you. So let's look at them really briefly where he talks about salvation. He again talks about he was dead in trespasses and sins. But now he's been made alive through the Lord Jesus Christ and the ministry of the Spirit. Look at verse number 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. You can't earn salvation. You can't earn being saved. It's by grace through faith, meaning God's going to give you something you don't deserve. And the only way you can get it is by faith, trusting, believing in Jesus Christ alone. So, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. It's not of works. Lest any man should boast. You know, if we had salvation by works, where would you ever end with that? Well, I worked harder than you did, so I deserve to have a better place in heaven than you get. Boy, can you see how it can become really selfish? And really self-motivated and lead to pride and arrogance. And so he said, it's not of works lest any man should boast. But then look what it says in verse number 10. Verses 8 and 9 are the most familiar, but verse 10 is as equally as important. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. See, some people believe you do good works, then you get saved. But the Bible teaches you get saved to do good works. You don't get saved by your good works. You get saved so that you can do good works. So we are His workmanship. He's working in us. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God did before ordained that we should walk in them. So He has changed us so that we can become more like His Son. So we got saved. And God's going to keep working on us to make us just like His Son. Now let's turn one more time before going back to our key book. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 3. Now we're getting near the book of Revelation. You're getting near the end of your Bible. So let's go to 1 John There's a first, second, and third. We're going to go to the first one and the third chapter. Think about the beauty of these verses and the truths. Behold, verse 1. Listen to this. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us that we should be called the sons of God. I'm just going to stop reading there in verse number 1. Just stop and think about it. What love the Father bestowed on us that we should be called the sons, the daughters of God. But look at verse 2. Here's a really important truth. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. So listen to this. Keith Schweitzer, he's a son of God, but I'm not yet what I ought to be. Have you ever doubted your salvation because what you see in your life or what you don't see in your life? And you look and you say, I'm not doing this, or I should be doing that. I must not be a Christian. Wait a second. He says, you're a son of God, even though you're not what you ought to be. So it's not what I'm doing or not doing that makes me a Christian. I'm a Christian, even though I'm not done yet, even though he's not finished with me yet. So he says, look here again, verse number 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So when is he going to be done with us? When we get to heaven. When we see God. That's when the work's finished. Then when we shall be like him. So that's the work. That's part of the work. Keep that as in kind of as a side note. What is he working on us? We're going to talk about that in just a minute. And he's trying to get us to become just like his son. So the moment I get to heaven, I'm going to become just like his son, for I shall see him as he is. Now let's stop and think about this a little bit. Some people by nature are a little lazy. Would you agree with me? I'm not saying you are. Maybe you're a child. Maybe you're a parent. Can we get spiritually lazy? Here's what can creep into the lazy person's mind. Well, if I'm not what I ought to be now, but I'm still a son, and one day I'll automatically become like him, why work on it? Why not just coast? He's already called me a son, and I've got a promise of eternal security. And one day, I'll be like him, so I won't go around in heaven looking like I don't belong there. He's going to change me. So why not just go through life and not change anything? Here's what the writer John says. And every man that hath this hope, in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. He says, if you really have that hope and expectation, that confidence, you won't wait and say, I'll just become like him when I get to heaven. No, you're going to try now. Therein is the evidence. I think that's the evidence that preacher was talking about that I alluded to earlier. The evidence that he was a Christian is that I'm not pure, but I'm sure working on it. You know where you really ought to doubt your salvation? And I'm not trying to get people to doubt their salvation. But if you know there are things that aren't what they ought to be in your life and you're not doing anything about it, and it doesn't bother you at all. Boy, I'll tell you what, if my heart was like that, I'd sure be looking into my salvation. Because anyone that has this hope that they're not what they ought to be, and one day they will be what they ought to be, but in the meantime, they're going to be purifying themselves, even as he is pure. That thought in mind, let's flip back to the book of Philippians, and this time go to the second chapter, because I need to keep moving forward. So the basic understanding of verse number 6, that's a foundation for this message, is I'm confident, I'm fully persuaded that God, who's begun a good work in me at salvation, will continue to sanctify me or change me to become like His Son, Jesus Christ, and He'll keep working on that till the day of Jesus Christ. So, let's look secondly then at then what we have to understand what God is doing. If God's working on me, what is He doing? Don't you sometimes ask that when your husband says he's been out working in the yard and you don't see any well, what were you doing out there? You're skeptical. What were you doing for those several hours you were working in the backyard? Okay, well, what is God, if God's working on me, what is He working on? Well, we learned earlier, I told you to make a side note of that. His ultimate goal is that we would become just like Jesus Christ. Okay? God doesn't, here's something I learned. God doesn't expect me to be perfect, but He does expect me to be growing. God doesn't expect any of us to be perfect. We're not what we ought to be. But He does expect us to be growing. Here's what He says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, not because I want to get us out quickly here today, but I want to preach on this more when we get to this passage later on in this series. But look at verse number 13. For it is God which worketh in you. Hey, I read earlier, He's working in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do you always want to do what God wants you to do? I know I sure don't. There are things that God wants me to do that I don't want to do. And there are other times there are things I want to do that God doesn't want me to do. So sometimes my will doesn't line up with His will. God's will is that I would become like His Son, Jesus Christ. God's will is that I would approve all things and hold fast to that which is good. Sometimes I make lousy choices because my will gets in the way of God's will. Didn't you see that a little bit even in the disciples of Christ? We're going to talk about him later. Didn't Peter's will sometimes go against the Lord's will? And God had to change. So God is working on me. And what's one of the things He's working? He wants to change my will. And He wants to change what I'm doing. Isn't it interesting? God doesn't just want to change what you're doing. He wants to change your will first. And then what you're... Sometimes in Christianity, we are all focused on the doing. Shame on us. Sometimes I think that's the foundation of fundamentalism, and I hate it. It's all about doing, 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 doing. You know what the foundation of Christianity is? It's being. God wants us to be. And if we become, and if we will what He wants us to will, and to become what He wants us to become, the second thing will be much more easier, doing what He wants us to do. So God, first of all, God isn't done working on us. Secondly, what's He working on? He's trying to change our will, and He's trying to change what we're doing. Listen to these two verses. I don't want to take us to a number of passages. So just, if you would, please listen closely. Hebrews 13, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect, make you complete. So He's working on you in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So what's He saying here? He said, the God of peace is trying to make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Okay, so let's break this down a little bit. So if God's still working on me, and he's trying to change my will and what I'm doing, then I ought to stop repeatedly throughout the day and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what would be your will? I've got an option here, Lord. I can go to the ball game, or I can go to a Bible study. Lord, what do you want me to do? I can go to a rock concert, or I can listen to music that glorifies you. What would be your will? Lord, help me to want to do what you want me to do. Because again, he's trying to change our will. And then help me to do what you want me to do. So it's God working in us. Now, he's going to use pastors and teachers. We read of that in the book of Ephesians. He's going to use other Christians. We even read of that in the book of Hebrews. We ought to be exhorting one another daily. And so we ought to be he's going to use preachers. He's going to use Christians. He's going to use the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. He's going to use the Holy Spirit in your life to bring about that change, to prompt you to change. And so God's going to work in your heart, so that you get to the place where you want to do and you do the things that please him. Not my will, but thine be done. So then let's look thirdly. And let's go to the third chapter of Philippians. And again, I'm just going to show you some sampling out of this book what chapter 1 and verse 6 looks like. But you should have a basic understanding then of what God is expecting. Again, this comes across this way. God is expecting me to become more and more like his son. That's what really pleases him. God isn't expecting me to be perfect. He's expecting me to be growing. If I were to ask you who is the greatest Christian, New Testament Christian in the New Testament, I think a majority of people might say the Apostle Paul. I didn't hear any Peters out there, did I? By the way, we got to guard against our knocking on Peter, all right? I'm more like Peter than I am Paul. So, but we'll talk about Peter in just a minute. Paul was probably the most prominent Christian in the New Testament. He wrote 13 of our New Testament books. John, second closest to it, writing 5. And two of them were really, really short. So Paul was the most prominent Christian in the New Testament. Paul wasn't perfect, though, but he was growing. You see, sometimes people try to change without growing. They get caught doing something. And so they try to change so they don't get caught again, don't get in trouble again. Well, dear friend, what happens when you stop doing something without changing? You're basically just hitting the pause button. Eventually, you're going to go back to doing it again. But when you grow and you change, then you can put something off and never return to it again. Why? Because you've grown in your life, you've made some changes, and you don't ever go back to it again. Let me use one for an example. I'm sorry if you struggle with this. I'm not using this to belittle you if you struggle with this. But a good friend of mine who's since gone home to be with the Lord is Dr. Alan Dickerson. And Dr. Dickerson, the very first time he heard the preaching of the gospel, was gloriously saved. And I remember him talking about that. He walked out of that church. He said, I reached into my pocket, took out my cigarettes, and threw them in the trash can. And he says, I've never touched a cigarette since that day. Wow, wouldn't everybody like that testimony? Now, Dr. Dickerson put away those cigarettes, but there were other things he struggled with, and he admitted to that in his preaching. So I want you to recognize there might be things that you're struggling with and other things God has given you victory over. The key is that we just keep growing. And the more you grow, the more you'll be able to put off, and the more victories you'll be able to have. And God may work in your area in one life and work in somebody else's area, a different area in somebody else's life. In fact, Nicholas, will you come up here a minute, please? Oh, no. He got that look on his face. And Brother Butch, will you come up here, please? Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, no. Let's have Nicholas come over here, and let's have Butch come down here. Okay? Right over here on the side. Good friend of mine. Amen. Amen. Yeah, used to be a good friend. Let's kind of envision what we have here. Let's say Nicholas, in one area of his life, is more spiritual than I am and a lot more spiritual than Brother Butch down here. And there's one area where God has given him more victory. You know, a lot of times what we do is we focus on doing and not being. Maybe Brother Butch is focusing on the doing. But he doesn't have the heart of love for other people because he's all focused on doing, doing, doing. If you don't do, you're not a Christian. Isn't that true, Brother Butch? Yeah, unfortunately, I nailed it. I have the right guy here. No, just kidding. Shoe's going to be on the other foot soon. So the problem here, when you seem more spiritual in other areas, Nicholas can look down on us. The problem in our hearts can be we can look with contempt on him. He thinks he's better than us. But the reality of it is, in an area of life, there's a very good reality that Nicholas is probably more spiritual than I or Brother Butch. Okay? Now let's take a walk, man. Let's go over here. Now you go down. Ah, Brother Butch is gloating now. He's the most spiritual. You know, there may be another area in our lives where Brother Butch is more spiritual than both of us. Maybe now Nicholas is at the bottom. I don't know. But the reality of it is God works on our hearts and lives in different ways at different times. You may have put something off, like Dr. Dickerson put off smoking immediately the first day. You may struggle with that 30, 40 years. That doesn't make you less of a Christian. That doesn't mean God loves you less. That doesn't mean God won't answer your prayers, but he will answer Brother Butch's because he put it off and he doesn't smoke anymore. That doesn't mean that at all. It just means in that area of life, Brother Butch has a greater area of victory than we have. So again, I shouldn't look down on him. I ought to praise God. God's given him victory. I shouldn't look down on him for having more victory in one area than another. I ought to praise God that he's being what he ought to be. And praying that God would make me more like his son, Jesus Christ. Again, we could keep walking around going, oh, I could be at the bottom now, and Nicholas could be in the top, and Butch could be in the middle. In different areas of our lives, we're in different growth spurts. God may convict you. Man, you can be seated. Thank you for helping me. I hope I didn't hurt your spiritual well-being and growth in the Lord and our relationship. The reality of it is, God may work in your life in a different area at a different time. Well, let's say Nicholas is more spiritual than us in other areas. Would we be helped if he belittled us for not being where he is? If he talked to others about how we do this and do that and he doesn't? No, that wouldn't help us at all. What he could do is pray for us. What he could do is encourage us in the Lord. So where God has allowed you to grow, don't use that as a battering ram to belittle those that are below you. Use it as an opportunity to minister, to lift them up, to encourage them. Because the reality of it is, there's another area of your life, you're at the bottom and needing lifted up. Paul wasn't at the top in every area of his life. Yeah, he's a great Christian. He had a heart of surrender. He wanted to grow. But he hadn't apprehended. Look at the third chapter with me. It's an awesome chapter, but I'm just going to dip in really with verse number 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Hey, here we are. This is sounding just like the words we've been hearing already. We're not perfect. One day we will be perfect, but right now we're on that sanctification process. God's trying to change us to become like his son. What did Paul say? I haven't attained. I haven't arrived. I'm not already perfect, but I follow after. that I may apprehend or get hold of, for that which I am also apprehend. He says, God's got a hold of me, and I'm trying to get a hold of Him. I'm trying to become just like His Son. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do. Don't walk around and act like you're the best Christian there is. Paul says, that's not how I act. He says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So he said, I haven't arrived, so what am I doing? I'm pressing toward becoming like Christ. I'm not there yet. But everyone that hath this hope purifieth himself even as he is pure. And Paul says, you know what? I haven't arrived, but I'm trying. I'm doing my best. Look at verse 15. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. If any of you don't have that mindset, ask God to reveal that to you. Say, God, am I looking at this in the right way? There are three types of sanctification. Let me just talk about them briefly, and I hope not to cause us to struggle in understanding the sermon because of it. When we get saved, that's a positional sanctification. We've been set apart now for God. One day, we're going to have ultimate sanctification when we become like His Son, Jesus Christ. Can I do anything about this day of salvation now, after I'm saved? Nope, I'm already perfect in Christ. Can I do anything about this ultimate sanctification right now? Well, other than walking out in front of a truck, no, I really can't. Okay? But I can do a lot about what's in between. Growing and changing to become like Christ. That's what God expects. Paul says, you know what? I haven't arrived, but I'm pushing toward that mark. Maybe in your Christian life, you've been really discouraged with how you've heard yourself speak, how you responded, how you're treating someone, what you've been listening to, what you've been watching, what you've been reading, what you've been looking at, whatever it may be. God doesn't expect you to be perfect, but He does expect you to be growing. And He's going to help. What you do today is you say, Lord, I really want to make these changes in my life, but I can't do it on my own. Will you help me? You said, since you've saved me, you'll keep working on me until the day your Son comes back for me to take me home. So God, will you help me? I've noticed some things that aren't your will. I've noticed some things that I'm doing aren't the things you would want me to do. I notice there are some things you want me to do that I'm not doing. Today I ask you, Father, will you help me? Remember, you can call Him Father, for you're either a son or a daughter. You say, Father, I need your help. Father, would you change my desire for something? My hungering and thirsting for something? It's kind of interesting how appetites change. I'm going to walk carefully so Karen doesn't carry a big stick, okay? You know, sometimes wife makes a change in diet and I didn't have any choice in it. I'm going to eat. Okay? Especially for me, I don't cook. Okay? And so if Karen begins to be a little more green or a little more organic, guess what? Keith's going to be that too. And you know, the first time you eat her, this doesn't taste what it used to taste like. Man, take the gluten. I don't know about gluten. Something in gluten that makes it good. You give me something that's gluten-free. I know I'm getting to be glutton-free, but you give me something that's gluten-free here. Boy, it totally changes. But you know what I recognize? After a couple times, I start enjoying that more than I liked it before. You know, God can do that in you spiritually. I still remember the day that I took my Van Halen, AC/DC, and yes, Kiss. 8 tracks. Yeah, this is dating me. 8 tracks and records, LPs. And I can almost take you to the exact spot where I went out in the woods and smashed them all. And at that point, I really didn't like Christian music at all. Do you know what? I still like AC/DC. I still like Van Halen. I don't know about Kiss anymore. I have grown some. But you know what? I've put them off. And I've got a new diet. And I like it. And when Thompson's or somebody else come in and sing, man, that's what I want to hear. Am I perfect? No. There's some things I still like. But I'm growing. And that's what God wants to do in your heart and life. God wants to change you. And He'll help you. And He's not done with you. And when you see something in your life that you don't think should be there and you don't believe God's pleased, just ask Him for help. God changed my will in some of those areas. There's other areas He's still working on my will. Praise the Lord. He's not done with me yet. And neither is He done with you. But dear friend, if you come here today and you're not a child of God, you're not a Christian, you've been trying to get there through works or in some other ways, up to that point, we all come short of the glory of God. But God is willing to help you in that relationship. And if you become a child of God, He is willing to help you make the changes you need to make. Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I really addressed at length Christians, and I intended to. If there is anyone here today, said, Pastor, as you preach, I recognize, wow, I am disappointed in some areas of my life. And like Peter, sometimes I go back to, he went back to fishing, I go back to the music, I go back to the pornography, I go back to the language, I go back to what music, whatever it is. But Father, man, you changed Peter. He ended up preaching and preaching hellfire and brimstone, and thousands of people got saved. And so you helped Peter change. Father, I need you to help me to change. And if you see something in your life and you say, wow, I've gone back to something, or I've retained this sin, and I want God to help give me victory, and you just say, oh, preacher, I want you praying for me as well. Would you just raise your hand and say, God's convicted me about something, and I'm just raising my hand to just ask for prayer. God bless you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Many, many hands have gone up and down. You may put them down. You're saying, wow, I am so glad God's not done with me. I want to still make these changes. Just pray for me, Pastor, and I will. I'll uphold you in prayer. Anyone else, say, Pastor, pray for me too. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There's several more. There's 4 more there. Praise the Lord. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, as you came in, you say, I'm not what you're talking about. There's not been that time I've trusted alone in Jesus Christ, but I'd like to hear more. God's convicting me about not being one of His children and not asking Him for help. Would you pray for me? Just an uplift hand. I won't point out who you are. I'll just note that your hand has been raised. Anyone at all? Say, I'm not a Christian, but I'd like you to pray for me. I want to know the truth. And if I'm not a child of God, I want to know how to become one. Would you just raise your hand? Just let me pray for you. Dear Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.